Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Here in Philadelphia at the DNC this week, delegates will formally nominate not just Hillary Clinton, but Virginia Senator Tim Kaine as her vice president. At a rally in Miami this weekend, Clinton called Senator Kaine my kind of guy and everything Donald Trump and Mike Pence are not.
He is qualified to step into this job and lead on day one. And he is a progressive who likes to get things done.
Many Americans, though, are meeting Tim Kaine for the first time. So just what are some of those qualifications? Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope takes a look at Tim Kaine's long career in public service.
This is how Timothy Michael Kaine introduced himself to America when he delivered the Democratic response to George W. Bush's State of the Union address in 2006.
I worked as a missionary when I was a young man, and I learned to measure my life by the difference I can make in someone else's life.
A native of St. Paul, Minnesota, Kaine went to college at the University of Missouri and then went to law school at Harvard. But instead of taking a top-dollar job at a white shoe law firm, Kaine became a Catholic missionary in Honduras, then launched a career as a civil rights lawyer in Richmond, Virginia. Here's how best-selling novelist John Grisham once described Kaine during a 2004 political event.
Tim Kaine has done something that all young trial lawyers who are starving only can dream about. Tim Kaine tried a case in this city not too many years ago, and he looked at the jury, and he asked them for a whole lot of money.
$100 million, to be specific. And that anti-discrimination case launched a political career that landed him a spot on the Richmond City Council, where he established a reputation as a detail-oriented and hardworking councilman. In 1997, Councilman Kaine was on Capitol Hill to testify in favor of making sure local governments had the ability to tax sales made over the Internet.
My constituents are glad to call me about and complain about taxes, and I get complaints a lot. But I've never had a complaint about taxes relating to any Internet transaction or that the city is being confiscatory or contradictory.
Quentin Kidd, director of the Wasson Center for Public Policy at Christopher Newport University, says that's the kind of forward thinking that propelled Kaine from hotshot up-and-coming councilman to mayor of Richmond.
The Richmond City Council is notoriously unwieldy, and Tim Kaine was seen on that council as a steady voice, somebody who paid attention seriously to some of the policy questions that the council was dealing with.
As mayor, Kaine turned his attention back to the civil rights issues that captured his attention as a young lawyer.
A huge area of discrimination, and this was especially true in Virginia, was single female heads of households.
That's George Mason University professor Frank Shafroth, who worked with Mayor Kaine to oppose housing discrimination that allowed landlords to turn away single mothers.
Richmond at the time had a disproportionate number of families that were fatherless. So mothers with children who could be then legally excluded from rental housing.
It wasn't long before people started talking about statewide office for Kaine, who was elected lieutenant governor in 2001 and then started setting himself up to run for governor in 2005. During that campaign, he positioned himself as a Catholic who was personally opposed to abortion, but someone who supported a woman's right to choose.
I want to reduce abortions, and there are proven ways to do it. Better education, better access to health care and contraception, enforce the restrictions we have. But I will veto any legislation that criminalizes women or doctors for their health care decisions.
Kaine personally opposed the death penalty, but said he would not use the governor's clemency power to interfere with executions.
I have other strong passions about things I want to do in Virginia. I'm not going to spend my time fighting a quixotic battle that I can't win.
Once Kaine got to Virginia's executive mansion, tensions started to build with a liberal wing of the Democratic Party. Kaine signed a bill that did away with the estate tax, which many progressives opposed. He also approved a new coal-fired power plant, outraging many environmentalists. Loa Feld, who ran a popular blog called Raising Kaine, changed the name of his blog and wrote critically about the administration.
A lot of politicians probably would never forgive or forget that if you oppose them on something, they probably would dislike you for the rest of your life and have you on their hate list or whatever.
But not Tim Kaine. Feld says he and the governor eventually patched things up, especially since he's been elected to the U.S. Senate, where Feld says Kane has been a pragmatic progressive. During his time in the Senate, Kane supported President Obama's executive order on immigration, and he initially supported the Trans-Pacific Partnership, although he's now joining Clinton in her opposition to the controversial trade deal. Jeff Skelly at the University of Virginia Center for Politics says that's not the only issue where Kane is out of step with the Obama administration.
He's probably gotten the most attention for his work on war powers, and he's actually opposed the administration to some degree because we haven't declared war on, you know, ISIS, for instance.
One traditional part of being a vice presidential candidate where Kane may be a secret weapon, attacking the opposition. That's a skill Kane honed during several bruising election campaigns, none of which he's ever lost. For Here and Now, I'm Michael Pope.